You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Joseph Silverswig from Block U. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing well, really well. How are you doing?
Yeah, I was expecting it really well after this last weekend and the game against Oregon.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, let's just get started. What did you think about that Oregon game?
I was blown away by the level of execution and precision. I thought it was the best game the Utes had ever played, or at least that I've ever seen them play. So much focus and attention to detail and effort and energy from the first snap to the last snap. Wasn't something I'd ever seen before. That kind of consistency over the course of the game is pretty hard to come by. It was exciting and really changes the way I think that everybody's looking at the rest of this season.
I agree with you. I think there was some hope and some excitement over the Utah football season, but after Saturday, I think it may have hit another level of Kool-Aid drinking going around with the Utah fans.
Well, there's a lot of Kool-Aid to be drunk. The national media is brewing up gallons of Kool-Aid for us to go out and find. I did my bowl projections this morning, and two of my three bowl projections that I tracked with the Utes in the Rose Bowl. So they didn't have them winning the Pac-12, but they had them as that other team that doesn't get into the playoff, but is an at-large selection in the Rose Bowl. And our projections that use FPI to sort of project the likely ending records had the Utes playing TCU in the Alamo Bowl, and all of those were just incredible spots to wind up. A level of national prominence that the Utes haven't really had before, at least not so early in the season with plenty of time to get people actually watching them play some games and realize just how good they are.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, going into the game, I read your article on it. I can't remember the title, but it was more of a statistical analysis of what you thought the Utes needed to do to beat Oregon. You really wanted them to push the ball to Devontae Booker and get him running. Yet he only had 22 rushing attempts, his lowest next to the Michigan game. What do you think about the game plan in regards to Booker?
The game plan was quite honestly was great. Something that you'll hear a lot of stats people talk about is the idea that teams don't change as much as you think they do. So a lot of fans will see a trend in a team improving or see play calling changes and say, oh, now we're doing it right. And for the most part, that's not the way it is. It's usually they happen to execute better and they're playing a less talented opponent, so their stats happen to go up and it looks like a trend line. But in this case, there's just no other way to watch these games and not see dramatic improvement in the way that we're handling the ball. And that may have been different if Travis Wilson hadn't been hurt. I thought we were on track for a blowout against Utah State before he went down. But there's been a real transformation in the Utah offense that has really changed the way that it works. And I think that the balanced approach that they took made sense. Now, Booker wasn't a major part of the run game necessarily. The Utes did run the ball a lot. They wound up, I think, with 42 carries for 270-something yards. A similar production to the production that you've seen in Oregon's other losses. But this wasn't a loss like any of Oregon's other losses. Oregon hasn't lost a game like this in a long, long time. They just got boat raced beginning to end. Even the first quarter where that ended 6-6, watching that game, you didn't feel like it was an even game. You felt like there was a level of dominance on both lines that Oregon wasn't going to be able to compete with, that there wasn't a lot of availability down the field. There wasn't a lot of time for Vernon Adams or Lockheed when he came in. if it hadn't been for that long kick return, you know, and a little bit of a lack of red zone execution for the Utes early on, I think the score would have been wider in that first quarter, and it just sort of snowballed from there. But I thought the Utes played much better than them in the first quarter, even though the score was tied.
Yeah, I mean, you referenced the massive amount of, I would say a massive amount of rushing yards against Oregon, where they were actually one of the higher rated rush defenses in the Pac-12. But Travis Wilson had 100 yards against them. Do you think it's safe to say after this performance that anyone who wanted to debate quarterback at Utah has flipped their opinion, and now everyone's 100% comfortable with Travis Wilson playing at quarterback?
I mean, he's number one in the country in QBR, sort of a total quarterback stat that ESPN produces. That's hard to argue with that. He's making excellent decisions with the ball in his hand. He's making excellent play changes at the line, and he's really picking his spots running. I think he only had 5 attempts to pick up those 100 yards, but you know, he'll get 13, 14, and then he'll get 60, and then he'll get those 2 yards in untouched for a touchdown. You know, he's not taking a lot of hits. They're not using him a lot, but that running ability and that mobility has really been instrumental, I think. And they're going to have to start locking down on him. It'll be interesting to see what happens in defensive secondaries as they start having to commit somebody in the secondary to keeping him from picking up those huge games that he's been getting.
Yeah, no,
I wrote an article in the off season that I didn't think there was much of a statistical comparison between Thompson and Wilson. That Wilson had just been better all season long. He was much better in passing downs, much better if you included sacks and interceptions in the metrics a little bit more honestly or more completely, I should say. And I think now, having had a chance to see plenty of both of these guys, so Wilson is literally and figuratively head and shoulders above Kendall Thompson.
Exactly right. Well, I mean, last year, if I remember right, you know, Travis Wilson looked more timid in his decision-making. He didn't turn over the ball that much, but he seemed a little bit more timid, where this year he's seems a lot more confident, much more in command. He's making play call changes at the line. He still is doing really well in the turnovers. What do you think changed last year to this year in that level of confidence?
I think experience matters. I think health matters. I think there was an aspect of his play last year where he was still coming back. It's hard to remember just how much time he missed and to kind of recognize the impact that could have. But I think the biggest change is the absence of Dave Christensen. I think that there was a real emotional toll on Travis Wilson from that relationship. You know, I think that the blame for that lays squarely on Dave Christensen. I think he's, one of his jobs is managing the psyche of his players and making sure they're playing at their best and in a position emotionally to make the right plays and to play as hard as they're capable of playing. And I think that he put Travis in a position where he couldn't do that. I think he limited his ability in terms of the plays that he was calling to make those throws, that if you can call plays that had routes that Wilson could make those dangerous or you know, downfield throws or throwing into more coverage or things like that. And I also think that he coached Wilson away from making those plays. A great example is the touchdown pass to Kenneth Scott. When Travis Wilson threw that ball, Scott was double covered, you know, totally obscured from Wilson's view by the defensive backs, but Wilson threw a good pass and trusted in Scott's ability to kind of fight his way out into the open space and be the only one able to catch that ball, which is exactly what he did. And I don't think Dave Christensen would let Kenneth Scott run that route, and I don't think he would let Travis Wilson throw that pass either. My question, big question for the Utes going into the season, was how much of the offensive struggles can we pin on Travis Wilson and his talent and decision-making, and how much of the offensive struggles can we pin
the way Dave Christensen both called and managed the offense from an executive perspective. And the answer seems to be pretty clearly that Dave Christensen was a problem. I respect the guy and I wish him the best in his career, but it certainly wasn't a good fit here at Utah.
I 100% agree with you. So after the game, Whittingham said they're going to review the tape today and find the things that they need to improve on. And then Kevin Gamel from the ESPN Pac-12 blog said that Utah didn't just beat Oregon on the road. They crushed them in every aspect of the game. What, if anything, is the coaching staff going to be able to find in the tape of this game to be able to improve?
Well, I haven't had a chance to too closely review the film. I'll get into that over the course of the week as I'm putting together my play-by-play stats and things like that. The things that stood out to me were occasionally a little bit of a lack of discipline from the interior of the defensive line. Something that happened to me a lot last year is that the line would kind of fold in half or the defensive tackles would start to aggressively go after the quarterback and create an opening right up the middle. And against the spread offense with a mobile quarterback like Marcus Mariota did this a lot to the Utes last year. And they'll just zip right up the middle and then sort of head to the sideline and pick up a lot of yards that way. And there were a few times where the Utes allowed that to happen, both with Vernon Adams, but I think particularly with Lockie because he's less mobile and so they sort of pin their ears back a little bit. And I think those were mistakes, but relatively infrequent in general. That coverage was really good. And I noticed was a little bit of indifferent run blocking by wide receivers on the outside. I don't think they did that as well as they have in the past or could. And that may be because screen passes were less a part of the game plan and they were working on it less. But especially with the size of our outside receivers, I'd like to see more physical run blocking and screen pass blocking as Covey and Booker are trying to work their way upfield on the perimeter.
Okay, so another trend that has been going on in the Pac-12 is the home teams have not won a game in conference play. What do you think the Utes are going to be able to change that against Cal in a couple weeks?
I like these chances against Cal. I think I'm probably going to pick them to win that game when I get around to analyzing. I think Cal's a really good team. I picked them preseason to win the North. And I'm happy with their performance thus far. We'll really just stand by that prediction. But I don't think that they've got a defense that can really shut down any one particular aspect of the game and put the Utes into that one-dimensional mode where they tend to struggle. I think the Utes are going to be able to find space, passing, and between the tackles with Booker, and that's going to be enough to keep up with them. The difference is this is going to be by far the most explosive offense we've faced, the best quarterback we've faced, and somebody who can handle pressure really, really well. Goff is an expert at making quick decisions, hot reads, and making throws when the pocket is collapsing around him that are accurate and on time and go for big gains. And that's going to be tough. I think the Utes are going to have to really focus on getting pressure with minimal blitzes like has been kind of their trademark. But if we start having to blitz a lot, and we're putting six or seven guys down in there to try and get after him, I think there's going to be just too many open players on the field, and Goff's going to find them. So we've got to continue to play that really sound assignment defense that's really a basic set where we've just got the four guys rushing and then the linebackers doing their job and the DBs doing their job, and just having better guys up and down the field. And if our guys are better than their guys, I think we'll do fine. But it's going to be challenging, and I picked the Utes to lose this game at the beginning of the year, and that's certainly very much a possibility. And I don't think says anything bad about the Utes. I think it's possible for the Utes to lose this game and go on and still win 10 or 11 regular season games.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of like how many games you expect them to win, I'm curious, what did you pick for them at the beginning of the season?
My preseason projection for them was 9 wins. I thought they were going to lose to Cal and Oregon, and I think USC was the other one that I picked. And I still think that would be a great season. I still think 9-3 for the Utes, even if they don't win the Pac-12 South or the Pac-12, would still be a good season. And I try hard not to raise my expectations too much when things go well, not to lower them too much when things go poorly, and to trust that you know, averages are gonna come into play. This is likely to be the best game the Utes are gonna play all season. And you know, we're gonna have some games where they don't play very well. And, you know, they make mistakes and their head's not in the game, and sometimes you lose those games and sometimes you win them. And you know, you want to minimize those games and make the mistakes as few and far between as you can, but you have to be ready for them. I think 10-2 is a good target. I think 11-1 is possible. 12-0 isn't out of the cards. It's plausible. And if this is the real Utes, if there was really, I don't know if I believe Kyle Whittingham when he suggests that they were really holding something back in the first 3 games, or if they simply executed the things that they hadn't executed in the past at a higher level. But if they were really holding back, if the offensive scheme is really more complicated now than it was 1 and 2 weeks ago, there's no reason why they can't win every game.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So it doesn't sound like you would really change your preseason pick 4 games in.
No, I'm not ready to. I haven't seen enough yet. I like to see at least 6 games. 6 games for every team. I think you've got a pretty good idea of who they're going to be on the field for the rest. And you know, we need to see how they respond to a true elite Pac-12 quarterback. Which isn't a challenge they faced. I mean, they haven't faced a complete quarterback. Keaton wasn't quite himself, and you know, Goff is just a totally different animal. But I will say this though: at the beginning of the season, I would say that the Utes were a team who could beat anybody on their schedule, and now I think they're a team who could beat everybody on their schedule, and that's an exciting place to be 4 games in.
I agree. All right. Well, Joseph. So one last question for you, as this is the Torn by Sports lunch break, where's your favorite place to go to lunch in Salt Lake?
Oh gosh. Well, I live down in the Heber Valley, so I don't get up to Salt Lake much, but if I am up in Salt Lake, I think my favorite place to go is probably La Cocina. It's up in Cottonwood Heights. It's a Mexican place, just sort of basic Tex-Mex, but it's really, really good enchiladas and fajitas, and that's where I like to go if I'm up in town.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Joseph. Could you tell our listeners where they can find you and find your content?
Yep, I write for BlockU.com. I do stats analysis, and then I'm on Twitter quite a bit. My handle is at JSilverZweig with a ZWEIG at the end. I hope to hear from everybody, and go ahead and send me any questions or thoughts that you have. I'd love to talk to folks.
All right. Well, thanks for being on, and hopefully we'll talk to you later in football season.
Sure thing, Glenn. You have a good one.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.